All right, Tommy Points, episode 7. We are cranking right along here. Dante, you're a pretty good counter.
Yeah, say that I'm now. Running out of fingers in a few episodes. I'm going to have to start using my toes, but for now, man. We're good.
Well, let's save that for the people watching on YouTube.
Yeah,
let's,
yeah. We'll save the toes for another time.
Put that behind a paywall or something.
Yeah.
Exclusive members. But
I have to pay for that.
Yeah. Episode 7 of Tommy Points. Today's episode is sponsored by Podcorn. Now, Dante, let me ask you something. Do you like money?
Yeah. I think I like money.
Yeah. I love
money. Yeah. I'm a fan of money.
Money moves the needle in my life.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with a little bit of money.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you like podcasts?
Well, I do have my own podcast, and we're currently doing a podcast, so I guess you can say I like podcasts. Yeah.
What if I told you there was a platform out there that pretty much married the two? You can make money while podcasting. Super, super simple. In fact, we're doing it right now.
That sounds like a sweet deal to me, man. Tell me about it.
Podcorn.com is the perfect middleman between making money and podcasting. What Podcorn does is pretty much put you in contact with sponsorship opportunities like host read ads, guest interviews, so on and so forth. They match you up with the company and you get to talking. So I know I called them the middleman, but they're not an actual middleman. The minute they connect you, they're out of the picture. And then you can talk to that dream company you've always wanted to talk to and, host or promote on your show. And really, you know what the cool thing is? It doesn't have to be a huge, big, amazing podcast like the one we have here. Mm-hmm. You could start a podcast tomorrow and jump on podcorn.com right now, sign up, and possibly get matched up with some companies. So I think it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, sounds good to me, man. I love it. Shout out Podcorn.
Shout out to Podcorn. Head over to podcorn.com to check it out. And just remember, Tommy Point sent you. If you guys have the next big podcast and you're making millions off of sponsors on that, just remember who referred you there.
Us. All right.
But all right, Dante, we got a few things to talk about here.
Yes.
I guess let's start with the bad. How about we do that? Because
how much bad? There's a lot of bad we have to talk about.
That's true. The New York Knicks took us out back, beat us silly, and left us for dead.
That's putting it lightly.
Sunday night. It is.
That's putting it lightly. You're being very nice. You're being very nice about this right now.
It's a sponsored episode. I didn't want to get too.
We're not trying to scare people away. I know. I get it. But if we want to put it lightly, the New York Knicks just kicked our ass on Sunday, man. Like, listen, we've been through some ups and downs as Celtics fans over the last few years. I watch every single, as long as I'm available, as long as, you know, nothing's going on in my life, I'm watching every single game. There was a time a few years ago when we had a dysfunctional team that made it hard to watch Celtics basketball, but we continued to still watch it. This past Sunday was the first time in years that I wanted to turn off my TV and stop watching a Celtics basketball game. I couldn't even, like, it was one of those things where it was like, can this get worse? How much worse can this actually get? And shock, like, they would just shock you. They'd be like, well, we'll show you how we can make it worse. And every single quarter was just worse than the last. And even, like, I mean, I'm just throw out the stat. If we look at the game, they scored 17 points in the first, 18 in the second, 15 in the third. So it's just trending down. And then they scored 25 in the fourth. So you're thinking, oh, okay, they scored more points in the fourth. It was their worst percentage shooting wise. They shot like 8% from three that quarter. Like, I don't even know what I was watching. It wasn't Celtics basketball, I'll tell you that.
The thing that jumped out to me that, like, just stunk, this isn't like the Celtics blowing the lead that we've seen over and over again.
No,
this was from opening tip. All of a sudden, you're like, I smell a little something going on in this game, and it doesn't smell good, and that just came so true. It was so ugly. Every single player on the team. So, you know, I saw people on Twitter saying on another 25-point night from Jaylen Brown. That wasn't really a good Jaylen Brown performance.
It wasn't a good 25 points. It was 25 points, but it wasn't a good one. That's
right,
for
like
sure.
It'll help his season average. Sure, mm-hmm. It'll go down as 25-point day, I guess. But damn, nobody came to play. I mean, you had and it sucked because we're gonna get more into it, but it was Kemba Walker's return. It was the Knicks. This is supposed to be like easing Kemba into the rotation, mm-hmm. 20 minutes, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden the Knicks just said, no, every single shot we take, like that quickly, is that his name?
Yeah, quickly.
Every single shot he was throwing up was going in.
I don't know. Like, even after against us, I've been seeing these highlights. His floater is, like, I don't think he's ever missed a floater.
And he shoots it from,
his life.
He doesn't even, like, fully extend it. Just kind of, and he lets it go, and it drills.
I saw one clip. They played the Magic, I believe, the next day, the Monday. He did a floater from beyond the free throw line. Like, a little bit past the three-point line. Like, between the three-point line and the free throw line. And he did the floater, and it cashed. Nothing but net. Jeez. I was like, what the hell? I was like, who is this guy? Like, great player. Great against us.
I hadn't heard of him. I swear to God, I feel like I had seen his face before, mm-hmm. but I hadn't really heard of him. I know the broadcasters were talking about, oh, you know, he's supposed to start in New York. There's some talk about him and Elfrid mm-hmm. Payton going back and forth. From what I saw, I was that guy. That's like a first team all rookie. Like,
he was the 25th pick, so he went right before Peyton Pritchard. I was curious. I was like, when did he get drafted? He was 25th. Jeez, I mean, that's a great pickup for the Knicks. I mean, if you look at their roster, I mean, they start Elfrid Payton. I mean, I guess you can say they draft young. They're trying to get a young point guard. I'm not saying he's the point guard of the future, mm-hmm. but hey, I mean,
he looked it.
He against us, it looked like he could be doing this for the next 10, 15 years against the Celtics.
but the Celtics made everyone look that good. It was
we made the Knicks look like the 98 Bulls.
Yeah.
Julius Randle, don't get me wrong. He's a great player. He's having mm-hmm. an incredible year. Like, he'll be up for most improved player candidate. Like, he is having a phenomenal year. But, like, we made him look like Jesus Christ.
And
we did.
Reggie Bullock was, like, shooting in every single shot. He took one in. Every single player on that team looked like they were the best team of all time.
Speaking of Reggie Bullock, he had a plus 36 plus minus against us. That's abysmal. For us, not for him. That's great for him. For us, that's abysmal. Like, that, the fact that they won by 25. They won by 30. He was a plus 36. Are you kidding me? Reggie Bullock?
Damn.
Like, what are we doing? I don't know if it's the 1 p.m. starts. I don't know. Maybe, you know what, Evan? I was thinking about this. My theory is they forgot they had a game that early. It was like 12 o'clock, and they were like, oh, wait a minute. We have a game in an hour. And they just like kind of rushed into
I'm
it.
I'm not going to lie. I did. Like, I was like,
1 p.m. starts kind of throw you off a little bit. Like, you know, it's a Sunday. You want to sleep in a little bit. Yeah. There was football. So, like, I mean, that's what we were thinking of. The Tampa Bay, Brady was on that night. So, I mean, minds were in another place, but damn, I can tell you what, I think the Celtics were more focused on the football games going on that day than they were playing the Knicks.
They were trying to get out of there and be like, let's go watch Tom, because they weren't playing basketball.
No, it was like, it was one of those games where, like, and we've talked about this before, and this is a problem the Celtics have, is they play below their competition. Like, if they're playing a team, like the Knicks, you know, record-wise, I think they're like 5-7 or 6-7, whatever it is. I think they're currently in the playoffs, the seeding-wise. Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but, like, this is one of those games where, like, the Celtics are supposed to win, right? And it's like, the Celtics are better than the Knicks. Like, just don't let this 30-point loss fool you. The Celtics are better than the Knicks. They just came in, they were like, you know what, we're playing New York today, let's take it easy, we just beat the Magic by 30, we can take a day off, or, like, you know, play 50%. And if you do that, I mean, in the NBA nowadays, all these teams are competitive. It doesn't matter what the record is. Like, if you take a team lightly, they'll show you out. They'll drive you right off the court. And that's what the Knicks did to us.
Yeah, so let me ask you this, and it doesn't have to be a full-on blame, but realistically, in your mind, gut reaction, who has the most blame here? Because, like I said, it started bad, mm-hmm. but, you know, you could have gotten this team up before the game, ready to go. You could have gotten them at halftime. Like, it's still the Knicks. You could be winning by, you could be losing by 50 at halftime and still somehow win the game, and it just never happened. So, who do you think is most to blame, I guess, because there has to be some sort of blame to go around. Like, I know it's a just get up and move on, because mm-hmm. this team's still plenty fine, you know what I mean? But Like, what could have changed that?
I mean, it's, I want to say, you know, I'm going to pick this guy, but it's not like I don't want to pick him, but it's just the fact that, you know, he came out like super, Kemba Walker. I'm saying Kemba Walker. And the reason why I say that is not because, like, you know, it's his first game back. He was kind of like, you know, getting back into the swing of things, which is fine. He looked like he was just way too, like, ready to go. Like, if that, he was like way too excited. Like, he was just like firing passes. Like, he was making, like, he got a nice steal at the beginning. I think he finished with three steals. He had three steals. So he was active all around. Like, he looked good. Like, the movements he was making, the cuts, the drives, the crossovers, he looked good. But, like, production wise, I mean, it just looked like he looked like a guy that hadn't played basketball in 5 months and he was just out there, like, really happy to be there. Mm-hmm. And he just did too much. But at the same time, the Celtics missed 39 threes. So it's like, I want to blame it on one person, but at the same time, it's just a team thing. Kemba shot 1 for 8. So obviously he missed a lot. Marcus Smart went 0 for 7 from three. So that was just awful. I think him, Grant Williams, Nesmith, Semi-Ojeleye was 0 for 6. Jeff Teague, all those guys.
Semi was jacking early in the
game.
They
were 0 for 22 from 3. Jeez. Like, you know, it's just like you can try to blame one person. In this instance, I'm going to say Kemba Walker. You know, first game back, you can kind of be like, oh, like the Celtics didn't look like this without Kemba Walker. But, you know, that whole team just sucked. It wasn't one guy that sucked. It was the entire team.
I had a bone to pick, and again, I'm not on the fire him wagon, but I think the Brad Stevens haters and that fire Brad Stevens crowd, this is like a feather in their cap.
Oh, my mentions were full of that during that game. Mm-hmm.
As a coach, I don't care how good X's and O's you are, as a coach, if your team is getting bent over a barrel and shown the 50 states over and over again, you don't just sit there with your arms crossed and go,
yeah, just nod your
mask,
head.
Wear your mask. Mm-hmm. Like, stay away. No. Look at the court. Look at the court and get into a guy. Rip him for doing something wrong or like just playing out of his like doing too much.
Shows no emotion.
No
emotion at all. No,
and
it's just
sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's fine. You know what I mean? Like the calmer heads prevail. Whatever the hell the saying is. But
in this case, if you got to rip into your guys, you got to rip into your guys. And, you know, I've said this before. I've said this a few times when he starts the two centers and like he lets them keep playing and keep starting them. I feel like he's sitting on the bench on his iPad, on his little playbook, and he's just like watching another game. He has like league pass on and he is just like watching another game going on. It's like focus on the game going on in front of you and try to like you lost by 30. There's a lot you got to fix to not lose by 30. But like, you said it. It's like we're down in the Knicks. We were down by 11 at the end of the first. We're down by 13 at half. And being the optimistic Celtics fan that I am, being just the realistic fan that I am, I'm like, you know what? The Celtics can come back. They've come back from being down 20 plus this year. Like, all they had to do was not be worse than how they were the quarter before. And I said at the beginning, it just kept getting worse. Like, it just, like, I don't know what they were doing. It was the worst basketball game I've ever seen. Honestly, in my opinion, it probably was the worst basketball game
in recent memory. That's tough. I think even in games like, what was it last year? They had that absolute collapse to the Nets, but that's like, you're winning the game. Mm-hmm. You're winning. This was just from start to finish terrible.
Yeah. It's not like we didn't have a chance. There was there was no point in the game where we had a chance. In the first quarter, the first 2 minutes of the game, Brad Stevens called a timeout, which honestly, if we want to say something positive about Brad Stevens, there it is. He called a timeout when they started going on a run. Awesome. Come out of the timeout and it doesn't fix anything.
I don't know if he said a single word. He was like,
no.
Hey, so
they're down by 13 at half. We're going into the second half. It's like, okay, just go on like go on an 8-0 run to start. You're within five, you're within striking distance, and you can just erase what happened and you can go through the rest of the game. They go, the Knicks go on a 7-0 run and Brad Stevens calls a timeout, not even a minute into the quarter. And then again, they come back out and they just couldn't hit a shot.
The Knicks were just like, thanks for the breather. We were literally
just giving the Knicks just more time to breathe more than it was us drawing up plays.
Yep.
And you know, another thing I want to point out, and this is kind of going back to Kemba Walker and stuff. One thing, and you know, Kemba Walker said after the game, you know, he doesn't want this to happen. And I absolutely believe him. they cannot let Jaylen Brown take a backseat when Kemba Walker's back. Tatum wasn't playing this game, okay? So in this case, I don't care if Kemba Walker's back. I don't care if Kemba Walker's been back for a week and he's not on a minutes restriction. Jaylen Brown is the show, okay? He's the show. To begin the game, he wasn't getting the ball. He was just sitting there, and if he got it, he would just shoot it. He had 11 of the first team's 17 points, and he hit two straight threes. He was like, at the beginning, if you had some faith that they were going to stay in it, it was because of Jaylen Brown, not because of anyone else. The first quarter, I was like, this is the only guy that showed up to play right now. He hit three threes in the first quarter, didn't hit any of the rest of the game. So, I mean, that just kind of just describes how the rest of the game went, right?
Because by that time, he wasn't in any sort of a rhythm. He had no like interest or involvement in the flow of the offense.
Exactly.
It's downhill from there.
He had the most points. He had 25. He shot 9 for 20, 3 for 9 from 3. You know, the statistics, you know, he kept his averages up, which is awesome. But it's like you can't fail to mention that that's what was happening. Like Kemba Walker, he was antsy. He was super happy to be back, and he was chucking up shots. And he said after the game, he goes, you know, me being back, I'm not trying to take away from what Jaylen has been doing this year. He goes, I want to help him. I want to make him better. And I believe him when he says that, because I do believe Kemba Walker is the perfect third guy for guys like Jaylen and Jason, because he can do his thing, but he's going to let them do their thing most importantly. I think in this case, you blame that on Brad. I think Brad Stevens is the one that deserves blame for not allowing Jaylen Brown to get going early on in that game and for letting Kemba Walker do as much as he did. Like, so, I understand you want to get him back into the swing of things, but you still got to play your normal game. And Jaylen Brown, him being the healthy superstar out of the two, him and Jason, he's the team, and you got to play through him, and they didn't do that.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that was sort of the game plan. Hey, guys, we're playing the Knicks. Let's try and get Kemba going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not, it's, I don't hate that if you're Brad
originally, but it's not the bad, change. It's not the right attitude. You can't go in with that mindset.
Especially if you do try it and it just flops in your face. You have 45 extra minutes to try and now fix it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, again, we're ragging on Brad. I have one more thing to say about him after this, but I do think that that's a typical Brad. Like he gets a game plan and kind of sticks to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, we're not, neither of us are on the fire Brad Stevens.
No,
it's not that bad, but you'd be an idiot to not criticize him sometimes because he's not the perfect coach.
I think he could be.
He has it in him because he has some of the intangibles that you need as a coach. You know, he looks at the game at a different level. Clearly he's respected amongst other coaches and other players, but there's no fire there. And a little bit of fire, maybe.
He's got the brains. He's got a high IQ for basketball. I mean, the guy loves basketball. And I remember there was an interview maybe it was a year ago, last year, whatever it was. And they were asking, like, what he does in his free time. And he's just like, just basketball. Yeah. Like, didn't mention his family, didn't mention his wife, just talk about watching basketball. So he's a basketball junkie, just like we all are. But it's just, you know, X's and O's, very smart guy. He doesn't show any emotion. He doesn't get fired up. There, very few times, like when we call Mad Brad, Mad Brad timeouts or whatever it is. Sometimes he gets a technical and we're just like, whoa. Yeah. This guy's turning into the Hulk right now. The guy says the F word once and it's like, oh my God, like what is this guy doing? Like he's never said that word in his life. But it's like, sometimes you got to be like that. You know who I admire because he sticks up for his players. And he said last year in the playoffs that he goes out there and he competes just like his players are. Nick Nurse. I think that's someone that Brad Stevens needs to model himself after. You know, I think Nick Nurse is a phenomenal coach, top five in the NBA without a doubt. But the thing that makes him so great, he might not be the smartest guy in the world. You might say Brad Stevens' X and O's might be smarter than him in that aspect, but he's emotional. He stands up for his players. In that Raptors Celtics series, he was on the floor. He was literally like on the floor. Like when Jason Tatum was shooting that corner three, he was like right next to him. Like as annoying as that was, that's great as a coach.
He gets
calls
too. He gets so that's probably an unpopular opinion, right? That because you know everyone hated on Nick Nurse because you know he's like a buffoon and whatnot. I said it multiple times last year. If Brad Stevens had a little bit of Nick Nurse in him, then that's
I love
a perfect
that.
Coach.
I love that.
You don't go full bore Nick Nurse like on the court literally in the ref's like back.
Yeah, that was a little extreme.
But you get a little bit of that. Like Nick Nurse, like pretty much nagged the refs all series long. And by the end of that, the Raptors seem to be getting a lot of calls. Like these refs are humans, and if someone wants to ignore the fact that refs have a tendency to possibly just get fed up and say, "Fine, I'll make that call." Like they're human. They probably do that. Just like if a player, you know, on the contrary, is kind of talking to them, you know, negatively all game long, they're going to be more likely to tee that guy up for something lesser than, you know, punching someone. A coach has an ability to sway a game more than just substitutions, more than just timeouts. He's a presence out there just like everyone else. And Nick Nurse sure as hell was a presence and has been a presence. So if Brad Stevens had an ounce of Nick Nurse in him, I think that he'd be so much better. But, you know, and it's he is what he is, and who knows what he's going to be. Maybe he turns into that. He gets older and grumpier or something.
Older and wiser.
I did have one last Brad Stevens topic, and then I think we can probably talk Kemba Walker or something. But I saw Jason Tatum, and I don't think it was a new podcast, but I think it was like a clip that's resurfacing a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it was on the J.J. Redick podcast, and they asked him, what's the difference between Brad Stevens and Coach K? I don't know if you've seen that. His response was, he goes, oh, you know, Coach K I'm paraphrasing here, so don't, but it was like, you know, he's a motivator. And if you do something wrong, he's going to let you know you do something wrong. And then he'll tell you how to do it better. And they're like, yeah, what about Coach Stevens? And then he goes, well, Brad, which I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but all of a sudden he's like Coach K. And then he just calls Brad, whatever. That's probably me reading into it too much. Uh-huh. But then he was like, Brad doesn't really do that, you know? And he was like, he's more of an X's and O's guys, which is what every Celtics fan has always thought.
I mean, we've said it a few times already.
It's different to hear your best player say it too. Cause he pretty much was saying without saying it, yeah, no, Brad does not get us motivated. But he did also say it's harder for an NBA coach, which I don't know if I agree with it. Harder for an NBA coach because these are now adults you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. But if I'm Brad Stevens, I'm still talking to, you know, these 21, 22, 23-year-olds.
Yes. As, you know, like I have a question to ask you, and I want to know if you'd think something like this would happen. So let's say Jason Tatum goes to Danny Ainge, and he said to him, I want Brad Stevens gone. Do you think Danny Ainge listens to him, or do you think he holds on to Brad Stevens and, you know, lets it roll? He's like, let's play it out. Let's keep it going. Like, we'll make it work. Or do you think he'd listen to Tatum?
I think Tatum might be a year or two away from that. I think he's showing
not now. So not now, but like we'll say, all right. So let's say hypothetically, Jason Tatum's 25 years old.
Yep.
He's a bona fide superstar, top 10 player in the NBA. Well, just assuming this is what happens. He goes to Danny Ainge. He said, listen, this ain't working with Brad Stevens. Maybe he has someone in mind. I'm not going to throw any names. He says, I would rather this so-and-so. I'd rather these guys you to look at than Brad Stevens. I think Danny Ainge listens to him. I think Ainge, especially if he goes to other players and he asks them, and if there's even a few of them that agree with Tatum.
Yeah.
I think the call you got
to
make.
Tatum speaks to Ainge's legacy more than Brad Stevens does. If Tatum becomes a superstar and all-time great, Danny Ainge drafted him. Danny Ainge got him to the
Think
Celtics,
about
traded
this.
Back to get him.
Think about this. Would Celtics fans care more if Brad Stevens left or if Jason Tatum left?
Yeah,
that answers the question right there, I think. You know what I mean? It's like if you asked 100 Celtics fans, this is Family Feud. You ask 100 Celtics fans. If you were to listen to Jason Tatum and say you want to fire Brad Stevens, would you do it? I'm telling you, I think 70, 75 of those fans are going to say yes. You listen to Jason Tatum.
Yep. I think you got to, like, the older grumpy people would be like, no, you stick with the coach.
Yeah. But I mean, listen,
they know what they're doing too. They know what they're doing too. That sort of crowd knows that, like, they're trying to play up that, like, oh, the coach knows best type of thing. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen. I mean, like, I'm just saying, hypothetically, I'm not saying I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not saying there is a problem between Brad Stevens and Jason Tatum. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, hypothetically, if that were to happen, I think Danny Ainge, he has his hands tied and he's got to listen to his superstar. But hopefully that doesn't happen.
Ahan's going to clip this right away. Ahan's going to clip it and say, Dante says
yep. Brad Stevens is going to get fired. Jason Tatum doesn't like Brad.
Hopefully that doesn't happen, but I do think that, like, that goes to show, because even a couple of years ago, that's not the case.
I mean, listen, that's not like that. Wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world. I mean, we see that. I mean, more often than not, the last 10 years, how many coaches have we seen get fired because of a superstar saying they don't want them there?
Yep.
A handful of times. Yep. And honestly, it's a superstar driven league. We've seen what trades, signings, superstars get their way. You can say otherwise. I mean, look at James Harden. He was in Houston. They were just like, we're not going to trade. We're going to hold on to him. He's on for two more years. And next thing you know, he gets traded to the team he wanted to go to all along. So yep. that just tells you right there, superstars always get their way, no matter what.
Yep. But we just have to
be patient hope that's not the case.
Because so far, so good. These two kids in Jalen and Jason are good apples or good eggs, whatever the hell the saying
yeah,
is.
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
So far. But yeah, so and again, we gotta keep saying that, you know, I'm not looking to fire Brad Stevens.
No.
Unless another option, like I don't think it's similar to, like, you know, you don't. Well, let me say this. So in my stream, they were saying that Brad Stevens is the Mark Jackson. They need to find the Steve Kerr. And I was like, well, sure. He built the team. He, you know, had them ready. But you also don't get rid of.
Comparison. I never thought about that.
You don't take the Warriors took the chance. The Warriors weren't, I don't think, in my opinion, weren't really as.
They weren't solidified yet. Right. They weren't a championship team yet.
The Celtics, you're pretty much taking that chance on a Steve Kerr. Yeah. You know, and yeah. But you could be tearing it all down. Mm-hmm. If the Warriors took a chance on Steve Kerr like they did and it didn't work out, it really didn't matter.
Yeah, because it's not like they were in the Western Conference Finals for three of the last 4 years like the Celtics have been. And I think that's what, like, makes you want to hold on to Brad Stevens and hope that, you know, 100%. we've made it that far the last 3 or 4 years with these guys being so young. Just see what he can do when these guys are, like, you know, they're not going to be in their – Jason and Jalen aren't going to be in their prime for another 3-4 years.
So crazy.
So, you know, like, and that's wild. Like, Tatum's averaging 27 points a game and he's 22 years old. He's nowhere near his prime. So it's just like, let him coach these guys while they're, you know, on the up and up, while they're in their primes. And then I guess after that, you make your judgment. I think that was a very interesting comparison. I never thought about that.
I wish I can give the shout out to whoever commented in the stream, but it makes sense.
I understand where that person was coming from. But
there's some stipulations there that don't really line up. But
so let me ask one question before. Then we'll move on to the next thing. It's another hypothetical question. Okay. Yep. And I should have asked this when we were on the topic, but both these guys are, you can either have Brad Stevens or Nick Nurse. Who are you picking as your head coach?
It's tough for me to say Nick Nurse because I've seen.
It's like, it's another thing. It kind of goes in saying, like, it could be messing the thing up.
I've seen what Brad Stevens has done with this team so far. So I think I think Nick Nurse is a really good coach. I think that, you know, a well-deserving coach of the year too. Mm-hmm. And I think that he kind of, everything you said was right about him, but I don't think, like, I wouldn't put him above Brad Stevens in my coaching.
Fair enough. Rankings. Yeah.
So no, I think I'm still Brad Stevens, because I think Nick Nurse goes over the deep end and all of a sudden, like, he had some ridiculous comments in that series. I forget what it was. Like,
there were so many
loser, like little baby, like not getting his way comments. Yeah, you remember that? So I think he goes off the deep end sometimes. And I think that
can get him in trouble sometimes.
That has more of a negative effect to it than Brad Stevens not getting emotional during a game. So I'm sticking with Brad Stevens.
I mean, and look at the Raptors now. I mean, they were a championship team 2 years ago. Last year, they made it to game 7 against us in the semis. This year, what are they, like 3-8, 3-7 or whatever it is? I'd pick Brad Stevens, the Tampa Bay Raptors. Yeah. That's right. No, I'd pick Brad Stevens as well. It's just, I don't know. It's something to think about.
I do think the Celtics would be, you know, just about to the same level though with Nick Nurse. I can't slight him that much. I think he's a good coach.
I don't know how much better Nick Nurse would make the Celtics. Like, if you're neck and neck here, like, I don't know if Nick Nurse brings you all the way up here. I think if he takes you any higher, it's maybe by that much.
And you know how we're talking about Tatum going to Ainge, talking about the coach, you have a way higher chance of him bitching out Nick Nurse or a coach like Nick Nurse, or some sort of, you know, confrontation with a Nick Nurse type coach than Brad Stevens. So in a sense, Brad Stevens being that calm guy, it almost, you know, he's not pushing anybody's buttons. But
fair enough.
So maybe we talk. Some Kemba Walker. I was gonna say talk some more positive notes, but I feel like what we're talking.
We can kind of pick some positives here. We can kind of pick a few positives here. What are your thoughts, Kemba Walker? Tell me, what you saw him on Sunday, first game back. He missed the first 11 games. What'd you see?
So to me, it looked like a lot of the teams looked coming into the bubble last year. Hadn't played basketball in so long. It looked like they hadn't been able to shoot a basketball in so long. They finally get the ball and they're like, "Holy crap, I want to shoot a million!" Kemba Walker looked super excited, but that, so I think that that's almost a knock in a sense, kind of like you said, he was almost too, like some of the passes he were throwing, not every pass needs to go 100 miles an hour.
He went up for a layup in midair, he went to throw it, but he found out he couldn't, so he landed and he traveled, then he threw it. And
I was just like, bro,
it's just like, yeah, that's definitely someone that hasn't played basketball.
Oh, travels, right, yep, gotta drill that one back in.
Because I remember they kept trying to still keep going, and I'm watching, I was like, are they going to call that? And then they finally blew the whistle.
Because even refs were like, wait, an NBA player did.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those like brain farts. You can tell that he was just like, ah.
Yeah, the refs are like, yeah, we'll allow like 10 steps for a layup, but if someone's going to jump and then land, we got to call that.
Yeah, that was bad.
I think he looked, you know, like he was trying to get back into it too quickly, but I'll say this, the one positive, he looked quick. He looked explosive, and a couple of those open threes fall, we're talking about this, maybe even this game, but definitely his performance way, way differently. So I think Kemba Walker looked good. I think he kind of, I don't know if inspired is the right word, but he definitely like had me feeling pretty good. Like, I think he's 100% right now on if anything can happen. You know what I mean? So he might not be, but he looked like if a couple shots were falling, if they had a full team, if they were really feeling it, maybe it wasn't a 1 o'clock Sunday game. Kemba Walker looked good to me, but, and I think we can dig into it more. I'll let you give your thoughts on Kemba, but I do think him and Jalen didn't like, I think we got to talk about it because I don't know how well they didn't play well together. But what were your initial thoughts? I know you already mentioned a little bit of it, but
yeah. So I mean, I'm just looking at this, that he finished with 9 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 3 steals. He shot 3 for 13, missed 10 shots, 7 of those were threes. He went 1 for 8 from three. Now, if you went into this game expecting Kemba Walker to put up this monster stat line, if you were expecting him to have like 20 points, 8 assists, like 60-something percent shooting, right? I think your head was in the wrong spot, because going into this game, all I cared about was how he looked, not how he performed statistically.
That's a good way to put that.
He looked good. He looked, I'm not going to say great. He looked good. He looked really, really good. I was more focused on, you know, his cuts, how quick he is with that knee, because, you know, with knee, like those knee injuries and stuff like that, like, you know, he can kind of be slow off the first step and stuff. Didn't look slow. He was driving. It's not like he went 1 for 8 from three, right? But it's not like he was just shooting. He was still driving. Yep. He had an and one finish in the second. Yep. He went on like an 8-0 run, but he had an 8-point run by himself for the Celtics at the beginning of the set and at the beginning of the second, excuse me. So he had his flashes. He looked good on how he was moving on the court, but obviously statistically and stuff, you can't really expect Kemba Walker to have a big breakout performance until he's like 3-4 games in, especially if you're on a minutes restriction too, because you think about it, you're going in for a certain amount of time. You got to get yanked after a while. Like, you can't get into a complete rhythm this game. And I mean, this game they lost by 30. So like, even if he wasn't on a minutes restriction, he probably wouldn't have played much anyways. Yeah. But in this case, he can't play like full stretches. So it's like, he's, even if he gets going, he gets taken out and he gets out of his rhythm. So all in all, you know, he looked good. But I wasn't expecting much out of the box score, so I'm not too upset. I wish you did better. I wish he didn't shoot 3 for 13. Like, I'll say that, but at the same time, I can't, you know, point fingers at him, because everyone, I mean, there are guys that shot worse than him. So it's just like, you know, that's just the day it was for Boston.
Exactly. So it's like, and I think, you know, your first sentence was kind of perfect. You're like, you were looking at how he looked, how he cut and whatnot, more than the numbers, because no one's numbers matter at the end of this game. Like, it was so bad. And I don't know if people were expecting him to go off, but them losing in his first game back by 30 points certainly didn't help that. Like,
yeah, even if he had like 20 points or something, I don't think anyone would have really cared if they still lost by 30. Yeah, like, let's say Jalen and Kemba swapped stats. Let's say Kemba was the one that had 25, Jalen had 9. I mean, you'd say like, yeah, Kemba looked good, but like, no one would care because we still lost by 30.
Exactly. Yeah. So now that's the good stuff, but I kind of alluded to it too. We talked about how he played with Jalen. We're going to get in even more to Kemba like in a couple minutes here, but are you at all concerned with that sort of Jalen mix? Because they 100% did not seem to know how to play with each other. Now, people would say, oh, Kemba just missed games, he just came back, but at the same time, you should be
able to play together. It's not like this is their first time playing together. Yeah,
they've played together, and you should, there should be a clear, I don't know if this is the right word, but there should be a clear vibe of who's going to be, you know, the star on the floor? Who's going to be the guy that the ball runs through? And Jaylen Brown was like almost seemingly like Kemba's out there doing his thing. Jaylen Brown kind of was almost like he tucked it between his legs and was like, I'm going to play second fiddle. I don't know what to do. And that ain't the best look for Jaylen Brown. Now, I don't know if that's actually what was going on, but we'll see.
So, I mean, we talked about like they played together. So it's not like this the first time. It's not like we just signed Kemba Walker and this is his first time playing with Jaylen. But I will, to defend that point, I will say this is the first time that Kemba's played with Jaylen at the level that he is playing at. Because last year Jaylen was nowhere near as good as he is now. No one was expecting Jaylen to be as good as he is this year. I mean, if you thought he was going to be a top 10 MVP candidate 10 games in, averaging 26 points a game, career highs across the board, no one thought that was going to happen. I mean, let's just be honest. You thought he was going to have a better year, but not as good as he has been. So I just think, you know, with Kemba coming back, I talked earlier how he said he doesn't want to hurt Jaylen. He wants to help him. I think Jaylen, and this is something I've noticed all year long, Jaylen needs to be aggressive. He needs to demand the ball, especially when Tatum isn't there. I feel like, you know, either whether plays aren't drawn up for him or whatever, he's too good to just not touch the ball like for four or five straight possessions. He needs to be like, give me the ball, let me go to work, because that's how good Jaylen is now. It's kind of like what Tatum, how he was last year. If he said, give me the ball, you gave him the ball.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown, if he says, give me the ball, you give him the ball. That's the type of level he's at right now. So I'm not concerned, but it doesn't. I'm not too concerned going forward. You know, I think this is something that they'll work off of. I think they'll definitely get used to it. You bring Tatum back in, and obviously, like, you know, you got to add another 27 point per game score. You got to, you know, see how those three work. But I think it'll all work out eventually. Obviously, this game, you think otherwise. I just really think that, you know, after the game, I don't know. I was in the locker room. I don't see what these guys text each other or whatever. But I have a feeling after the game, Kemba and Jaylen had a conversation, and Kemba was like, listen, dude, like, you're the man. Like, don't let me coming back. Like you said, tuck his tail between his legs. Don't do that. Like, demand the ball, be Jaylen Brown, be that guy, be a killer that you've been for the first 11 games. And I think that's what we're going to see moving forward. I mean, we play Philly tonight, Wednesday. So, I mean, I guess this will be like, we'll see if what I'm saying is true or not, or we should actually be concerned after this game. I think after a few games, if it looks like it did on Sunday, then you're going to start to think, okay, something needs to change. So right now I wouldn't say I'm concerned, but it's definitely something you can't just brush under the rug. Yeah. It's definitely something you got to think about.
Yeah. I think I'm in a similar boat. Like, it's not a worry of mine, but
it's at the end of the day, and you know, I was telling this to fans, people on Twitter, my mentions, I don't know about you, Evan, but like during that entire game, after game, I had people trade this and that, fire this person, the season's over, they suck. It's one game. It's one game. And like,
I don't know if it's the same for other fan bases, but damn, does that it's not sum when we off lose the
like these games, like I feel like these types of games happen like once or twice a year where like we lose and everyone's just like, blow the team up, season's over, this and that. It's just like, listen, the Brooklyn Nets lost to the New York Knicks. The Milwaukee Bucks lost to the New York Knicks by almost 20 points. The Nets lost to the Hawks. The Sixers lost to the Cavs. Good teams lose to bad teams. It's not like this is like shocking. This shouldn't be shocking. I mean, is it shocking that they shot, was it 9 for 40 or whatever it was from three? They missed 39 threes. Is that shocking? Yeah, sure. But losing to and not for nothing, I said at the beginning, the Knicks, they're not terrible. Like, it's not like they're a bottom of the barrel team. Like, they're not the best, but they're a team that you should beat. But they're also a team that's upset a lot of teams this year. Yeah. I mean, for all my betting people out there, three straight games, they were the underdogs. They were plus 250 money line underdogs, which is like huge underdogs, three straight games. And they won those three straight games. They're a team that can, you know, they're not going to back down from anyone. They're going to give you their best. And obviously they gave us their best on Sunday. And, you know, that stuff happens. It's like, you just can't act like the world is over. The world is ending. And, you know, I'm not using the whole, we didn't have Tatum, we didn't have Robert Williams. I'm not saying like, even if they were playing, I don't know how much better effort the team would have played with. So I'm not blaming that, but it's like, you have to look at everything here. We didn't have Tatum. We didn't have Robert Williams. We had a few other guys missing too.
it's a loss. It's one loss in January on a Sunday afternoon in January. We're not going to remember this in 4 or 5 months when the playoffs start, when we're top four seed. We're not.
It didn't even hurt them seeding wise because
no, we're still the number one seed.
The Bucks went and lost to the You know, so it's but
statistically we're still the number one seed right now.
You mentioned something that we got to talk about. So you said, you know, I don't know about your mentions and whatnot. Kemba Walker, trade Kemba Walker was
a big one
for me. They were in my post-game stream. It was tweets, you know, and then I did a poll about it because, you know, I was getting messages and whatnot about it too. And I did a poll. And now I will say the majority of people that voted, I would say Celtics fans, I can't validate who voted on this, but Celtics fans, you know, 66% of them or 67, whatever, somewhere in between there. So one or two out of every three said, no, I would not trade Kemba Walker for another player. And I'll disclose that name in 1 second. But one in every three person that voted said, yes, I would trade Kemba Walker for Lonzo Ball. And now it was more or less the idea of Lonzo Ball in the stream when these people were commenting and kind of arguing. They were saying, don't you think because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have taken such a leap, don't you think that a more facilitating, better defending, bigger point guard would fit those guys well? And let me give you my quick answer here.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, in a perfect world, in a in a utopian society, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum could use a point guard that's gonna just pass them the ball. But what people don't seem to understand is these Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in their early 20s, these are guys that are bound to have off nights, you know, every now and then. And sometimes they're gonna go on stretches of being cold or in a slump. And if you are solely handcuffing yourself to only two guys on your team that can put up numbers, the minute they combine for like 40 points in one game, all of a sudden you're like, well, then where are the rest of the points coming from? And we can talk about the bench too, but they're not coming from any guys on the bench. And if you look around the league, the sort of the teams that have three pretty good scorers, like the Celtics, versus teams that really are just tied to two, like the teams that have the more scorers are the better in today's NBA. You know, I know defense wins championships. I don't even know if that's true anymore. So I don't
I mean, look at the Nets. Are they going to win a championship with no defense? We'll see.
They could. So we'll I don't think that's my answer, that I don't think getting a guard like that, even if you bring up there's other names outside of Lonzo, so you might have some names in mind. I don't think that that's the type of guard that he fits. That guard fits better with Jason and Jaylen. I'll admit that. But in terms of Celtics being good and being great and contending, that's not the type of guard they need. Lonzo Ball in here is not the guard that puts the Celtics over the top, especially if you have to trade Kemba to get him. It's crazy in my mind.
Yeah, so listen, let me disclose this before I start talking. I don't want to trade Kemba Walker. I'm totally content with keeping him because everything that you said is right. So there are going to be nights, you know, maybe we haven't really seen it yet. There are going to be nights when Jaylen, Jason, you know, they're not going to be Jaylen and Jason. There are going to be nights where they're not going to be able to hit a shot. They're just not, you know, whatever. Kemba Walker, you know, we look at him. He's known more as being a scorer, right? He's not known for being the guy that'll give you 9-10 assists a game. He's not like a Rajon Rondo type of player. He's not like a pass first player, right? But I mentioned earlier, he's the perfect third guy to put next to these two because, you know, we haven't seen it yet because we haven't had Tatum. We only had one game of Jaylen and Kemba. Watch how this team, these three play when they're all healthy and they're all out there. Kemba Walker is certainly going to take a backseat to those two. Yes, he's not, you know, he can score when he has to, but he's that guy that he's not going to score unless he has to.
He's the safety net. He's the safety net.
Yeah. So how many times this year and the close losses that we had, the Pacers and the Pistons, we didn't score for the last 4 minutes. You know how nice it would have been to have someone like Kemba Walker in that game? If we don't have Kemba Walker, we're losing that one extra guy that can hit clutch shots. Like, you know, it's good to have, you know, teams. Luckily, we have two guys that can hit clutch shots, right? But there's nothing wrong with having three of them. I mean, let me talk about this. Look at the Milwaukee Bucks. If you watched that Nets game the other night, notice how Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't really shoot the ball at the end of the game. He wasn't like, you know, going up, hitting the clutch shots. That was Chris Middleton that was doing that. So in this instance, you know, they have one guy that can do that. And that's why, like, you know, the Bucks statistically, you know, standing wise, record wise, regular season, they're one of the best teams. But when the playoffs come, we saw it last year.
Yep.
They struggle when they don't have someone that could close more than one guy that can close games. And Chris Middleton, all-star player, phenomenal. Turns into Jesus Christ when he plays against the Celtics.
Yeah.
But you can't count on Chris Middleton being your go-to guy. Nope. The Celtics have two go-to guys, now three with Kemba being back. You don't want to get rid of that third guy. Now, you know, we've talked about this before. Hypothetically, if a trade comes along where you can get, you know, another superstar, in my opinion, I'm just going to say Bradley Beal. I'm not saying he's on the market, whatever. If someone like that came about and you have to give up someone like Kemba to do it, I'm doing that.
That's, yeah, but way different.
Not,
yep.
But that's completely different. I'm
you're
not
upgrading.
Giving
you're
up,
upgrading.
You're upgrading. I'm not trading Kemba to trade Kemba just because you're like, we need a pass first guard. No, Kemba Walker, give him time. Maybe he'll be a pass first guard now.
He looked like
forward.
He wanted to be.
You know, what I mean? Like, he actually could be. He was trying to make passes on Sunday. I mean, he was turning the ball over a little bit. You know what? First game back, rust, whatever it is. I think that's what we're going to be seeing from Kemba Walker. He's going to be more of a pass first guy, taking a back seat, but he'll hit shots when he has to hit shots. And so Lonzo Ball, was this like someone a lot of people were talking about, or is this like someone one person brought and then like
probably,
people were feeding?
So one person mentioned Lonzo Ball first,
and then everyone
and then
was just feeding off of
it. I was almost in that minority and a few other viewers in the stream. So there's probably like six people that were begging for this trade and they're saying he makes sense, you know, blah blah blah, and they did bring up this. They said, and it's the only point that I said, you know what, I didn't really think about that. They're like, what if Kemba's knee is crap? And I was like, okay, well you know,
yeah,
what, that's fair, but
that's
but
fair
for the
but
most
that's
part,
we don't know yet.
So and the thing is you, we talk about scoring and whatnot. If you get rid of Kemba right now, we saw it at the beginning of the year, but luckily Jason and Jaylen were going off and the bench was also playing really really well. You going from Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker as your top three scorers, you change that to Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and a huge drop off to our guy Marcus Smart,
yeah,
or Lonzo Ball,
yeah,
or like who's that scorer? Peyton Pritchard, which we love Peyton, but if you have to rely on Peyton Pritchard, you're almost,
yeah,
you know, you're writing it on the wall for yourself because you shouldn't have to rely on a rookie. So yeah, it's crazy to me, but yeah, it was in Dante that 33% of, I think it was like 600 people. So what's that? 200 people said that Lonzo Ball would be better. There's only two.
Let me put it this way to the people listening, to the people watching on YouTube. Look at me when I say this. If you want Lonzo Ball on your team, you're telling me you'd rather trade a guy who last year, pre-injury, averaged 20.4 points. He averaged 5 assists a game, shot 42% from the field. Not amazing, but I mean, he's for his career, he actually averages 42%. So that's a career average for him. That's around the money. Shot 38% from three last year. Also, 86% from the free throw line. So you're telling me, if you want Lonzo Ball, you'd rather give that up for a guy who this year, I understand, he's young. So I mean, he still has room to improve. I get that. This year, Lonzo Ball is averaging 12 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, shooting 38% from the field, 28% from three, and 58% from the free throw line. I do not want that on my team.
He's not even the best brother in the league.
Oh my gosh. LaMelo is so much better than him. Like, I know we're 10, 15, whatever, how many ever games the Hornets have played. LaMelo Ball is going to be the best ball brother.
He might
not be as
good right now defensively either, but he's like...
But he'll get there. He's got the frame. He's got the frame. Lonzo Ball, like, you can say he's a good defender. He's
not
long. He's tall. But he's not that, like, I feel like I hear this all the time. Lonzo Ball being a great defender and stuff, like, I feel like people overrate him a little bit. Maybe more than a little bit, especially on the defensive end. Like, listen, I you know, that's one aspect of it, but then you have to look at his entire game. Sure, maybe is it an upgrade on defense? Slightly, maybe, if that. But, like, man, that the drop-off is just way too... Like, if you're going to trade Kemba Walker, it's because you're making an upgrade, not because you're going to get Lonzo freaking Ball. Like,
right.
No, absolutely not.
And
no.
I just want to give my sort of defensive take, too. So everyone was talking, mm-hmm, like, oh, he's better defensively. The Celtics are built to play team defense. They really are. They're a really good switching team.
Can I say something? Look at Isaiah Thomas when we had him a few years ago. We did just fine. We were one of the best defensive teams in the league. Why? Because we had Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley next to him. Kemba Walker, we have Jaylen and Jason, who are you know, stepping into their own as really good defenders. I'm not saying they're elite defenders. I'm not saying, you know, they're great and any of that, but they're very good defenders. You can cover someone like Kemba Walker on defense by having those two guys, and Marcus Smart. I'm not failing to mention Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
It's like you can protect him there. You don't need a guy that's slightly, you don't want to trade for Lonzo Ball just because he's slightly better on defense when that's not something that will make or break the team.
No,
because it's not. That won't make the team better.
And in the replies to my tweet too, people are like, "Oh, a guy that's a pretty good playmaker. You know, he's bigger, stronger, and plays good defense. Yeah, mm-hmm. we have him. His name's Marcus Smart.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if they need that lineup, they have that lineup. So
yeah, I mean, So Lonzo Ball out of the question. Since we're just here, since mm-hmm. we're just throwing around names, since we're just saying guys that the Celtics could hypothetically bring in, replace Kemba Walker. There's one guy that I actually had this discussion with my friends, and I never really thought about this, but the more I think about it, you know, Dennis Schroeder, I think, you know, he's a solid point guard for what he is. Mm-hmm. He's the starting point guard on the Lakers. So, I mean, listen, he's playing behind LeBron and Anthony Davis. So he's not getting like a million shots a game. He's not shooting. He shoots 13 shots a game, averages 15, five assists, four rebounds, a little over a steal, shoots 33% from three, 43% from the field. So, I mean, his 3-point percentage isn't fantastic, but like all around, he's a solid player. He's a smart player. He's been around for a while. He was a starter in Atlanta, mm-hmm. came off the bench in Oklahoma, but he played with Chris Paul. So, I mean, you can assume that he picked his brain a little bit. And now he's going to be playing, competing for a championship on the Lakers. You know, it's like if you want someone to, you know, replace Kemba that isn't like a Bradley Beal type of player, I'd go like a Dennis Schroeder route, not a Lonzo Ball route. I'm not saying I want Dennis Schroeder. I'm just saying if you're going to have this conversation and you're talking about guys that you'd rather
bring a better name to the table.
And the name I'm bringing is Dennis Schroeder. So
I think I would agree Dennis Schroeder's better than Lonzo Ball, but mm-hmm. still I'm not saying he's better.
I'm not comparing him to Kemba.
It's still and another name was Malcolm Brogdon. And then what was another one? But again, like, that wasn't the face of the argument, you know? Like,
Yeah.
The first guy that mentioned Lonzo and then everyone that kind of jumped on his side, you know, you tied yourself down to Lonzo Ball. Yeah. That's where this argument's going.
Yeah.
But it's wild to me because you know that's, we talked about this too, like, fire the coach, trade Kemba. That's all coming out of that emotion.
Trade for Lonzo! What?
When Kemba goes and drops 30 points, like, you know, this month or something, these people be like, oh yeah, Lonzo Ball is, you know, well, he improved his jump shot mechanics, like, let's trade for him still. It's like, yeah, no. Let's take the all-star from last year.
You know, I feel like a lot of NBA fans, a lot of people on Twitter, Celtics fans especially, have a ton of recency bias. I feel like they see, like, they watch one game and they're just like they just ignore the first 11 games of the season. You know what I mean? It's just like, you gotta, like, one game, like, I'm not trying to go in circles here, but like, one game doesn't, losing one game to the Knicks doesn't mean the season's over. There is 60 games left. Yep. Like, there is still plenty of basketball to be played. There's still plenty of time for this team to, you know, get the chemistry going, figure it out with everyone healthy. This team hasn't had a healthy lineup at all this year. Let this team get healthy. The playoffs is when you decide whether or not this team is shit or not.
Yep.
Excuse my language. That is when you decide whether or not, you know, we need to make moves in the offseason or not. This year, and I think you said this before, this is one of those years that, like, you just see what happens, and then you make those decisions. We have that trade exception. I don't think Danny Ainge is going to use that this year. I think he's going to wait till the offseason, because I think that is when the Celtics are going to make, you know, big moves. If big moves need to be made, that's when he will make the moves. Not now. You know, thank God. I know Danny Ainge has a Twitter, and I know people say that Janos guy.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that's his burner account.
Yeah.
So, you know, the guy's on Twitter. He's probably active on Twitter, but thank God he doesn't listen to the Celtics fans, you know, that would be in our mentions, because the extreme ones, I should say, because if he did, first of all, Jalen and Jason wouldn't have even lasted a year in Boston. They would have shipped them out for a player that would have been gone after a year. So we'll just say that Danny Ainge knows what he's doing. He trusts this team just like we all should. Just let them get healthy. Everything will be fine. And that's that.
That's it. I feel like that's a good way to put it. Like, we are, as fans, riding in the back seat to wherever this team's going.
Yeah.
you don't need to jump up and strangle the driver and all of a sudden cause a car accident.
You hit one bump, you hit one speed bump. It's like, oh, what are you doing?
this guy sucks at driving.
And it's just like, okay, you know, in life, when you're driving, you don't hit, you hit a few speed bumps. That's what happens. You don't freaking kill the driver over it. You keep driving. You keep going.
Seriously.
That's a great analogy.
I do what I can on this show.
That's right.
But I feel like that's probably a good leaving off point for the show, you know?
Yeah.
Let's sit back and enjoy this ride, because for the most part, we're kind of blessed with an A1 limousine ride that we have. We could be some weird ass fan base.
Yeah, we're hitting these speed bumps in a limo. We're hitting these speed bumps in a Ferrari or something like that. You know what I mean? It's not like we're in a 03 Chevy or something like that. Like, you know, it's like, guys, we're fine. We have Jason Tatum. We have Jaylen Brown. Kemba Walker is going to be healthy, back to 100% in just a few weeks. You know, I'm just going to say, a few weeks, he's going to be off his minutes restriction. Mm-hmm. This team's going to be fine. You can't overreact to one game. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yep. And I'm in full agreement. So if you, this, the time has come for, actually, we got a couple housekeeping things to talk about real quick.
Okay.
So
okay.
We launched merch today, Dante.
Yes,
we should have talked about it. Maybe we'll talk about it to start the next episode, because we missed the boat here.
Yeah, we saved the best for last, right?
We did. So we launched some awesome merch. So go check that out. We tweeted out the link if you want the direct link, but it's it's in the store section of guybostonsports.com. So go check that out. The stuff's
fire.
It's clean. Simple colors, easy. We got the logo. We have some print. Go check it out. Definitely support the show. And then a couple other housekeeping things, I guess, I had something here. I drew a blank. I guess the house is pretty clean.
The house is perfect. It's spot on clean. We spit shined everything. We're good to go. I think we're good to go. Get the merch. Check out the merch. Yes. Honestly, like, I'm not even just saying this because, you know, it's our merch. It's our show. If I wasn't a co-host of this show, I would still buy it. It looks freaking sick.
It's so nice how it came out. It's
you got hoodies.
Clean.
You got
clean
t-shirts.
Is the way to go.
You got crew necks. You got everything. Yeah, check it out for sure. You'll love it.
So again, we tweeted that link. We'll put that link in the description in the YouTube video as well.
We'll make it easy for everyone.
Yes, sir. So if you if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, like the video. You guys, we appreciate every single person that's either commenting, liking, subscribing. This podcast is growing. You know, we had a couple episodes ago that episode blow up. We're still growing here, and I think we're improving. And you know, Dante, Riley and myself, I speak for all of us. We appreciate every single view,
absolutely,
every single listen. It's fun to hop on here and do the Celtics podcast, but you know, it makes it a lot easier when we know we're talking to people, you know, rather than just talking to ourselves.
It's not like we're talking to people and it's only like two guys from Western Massachusetts listening to us. Like, you know, it's like, you know, we have, you know, a lot of you guys check us out. You watch us on YouTube, you listen to us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. I mean, I don't want to, you know, take any fire away from Evan, but we really do appreciate all the support you guys give us. And this is only the beginning. What is this? Episode seven?
Yeah. Hey, I'm running out of fingers.
I got the fingers.
You've had those fingers up the entire episode.
I have to look. Yeah, no, we're seven episodes in, but you know what? Like, it's only the beginning. We're only going to get better too. Yeah. And you know, it's a blast. I mean, it's just like one day a week, we just get to sit down and just shoot the shit, talk about the Celtics. It's like, it really can't get much better than that. And it's a great knowing we have a ton of people supporting us. So
thank you
guys.
Get in while you can still say you're an OG.
Yeah, hop on the bandwagon right now, because I'll tell you, the train's taking off soon. All
and we're
right?
not going to have time for any of you peasants by then.
Listen, we'll keep adding you on, but we'll know who's here at the beginning.
Dante's like, no, don't say that.
No. Listen, we'll accept it. We'll accept you, but we'll just remember who the OGs were.
For sure. All right. On that note, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at EvGuyBoston. Dante, where can they find you?
At Dante on Deck. Check me out.
And I think we got everything on there. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Tommy Points Pod. You can follow Riley, who's not here today's episode. He will be back, we promise. Follow him on Twitter at Color Sports. He's one of the best Celtics accounts out there, not the best. Like,
easily. Everyone loves Riley. We love Riley. I love Riley more than anyone, but everyone loves Riley.
Except you think he's ugly, but hey, that's neither here nor there. Hey,
well,
your words, not mine.
I said both you guys were ugly.
to clarify.
No, that was that. I'm glad we got that out of the way first episode. Like, just
Never happen. That won't happen again.
You didn't want that in the back of your mind the entire. You couldn't keep thinking it. You had to say,
I have the most beautiful co-hosts in the world, guys. The most beautiful co-hosts.
Oh, thank you so much. But all right, guys, we'll tune in, and we'll catch you guys next week. And yeah, subscribe, like this video, comment down below, everything like that. Support the show. Pick up the merch. Peace out.
Peace.